button. It's on.
We left Damascus at 1 o'clock. We arrived at the border of Jordan at a military check stand at 3:40. We stopped at a rest house at coffee. That's Cafe's coffee. This is the first coffee we've had since I left. This is on the 12th. And so they checked up passports there. We just left Syria, the most horrible place, backward place, I suppose, in the world. And incidentally, all that sound you just heard ahead of me was the street sound by the hotel in Damascus where we stayed a couple of nights. But thank the Lord, we're out of Syria. We had Jordan. We had a Jordan policeman to get on the bus with us. And he is going to reassure us of a safe trip and all this. We're headed into Amman from Del Rah, 60 miles. Where we shall spend a couple of nights from Amman. We'll be able to tour Petras and a few other places of renown, which shall be recorded later. In the meantime, we are enjoying a smooth ride to compare with the first 70 miles out of Damascus to Del Rah, which is the south border of Syria. On the way from Damascus to Del Rah, there was all kind of military defilation. Military tents, all the holes in the ground indicated that the Israelites or somebody had really been attacking them in the past because they were flat dug in for their own defense. Had a nice time in Syria. We visited a few of the mosques there. Muslims had built back years ago. We went down the street called Street. We went to a place that Ananias had allegedly had baptized Paul, where Paul had received his sight. This was allegedly the house of Judah. This place had been under the earth for all this time. Many earthquakes have hit Damascus, we were told. Anyhow, they unearthed this place and redid the ruins January 10, 1973. Since that time, it has been a spot for tourists to go. Then we visited another place called the Wall of Damascus, and allegedly from this wall, Paul was let down in a basket out of a window. The Catholic, of course, have taken this place over. This is called the Christian side of Damascus. And they put concrete blocks, which some of the pictures will show, around the window that Paul allegedly had been let down from. And this place harbors a boys' school of some sort. Anyhow, they asked for donations there. Our guide, incidentally, called Basha, who took care of us in Damascus, took us many little walking tours to one of the malls that has 2,000 shops in it under one shed. And we did a little bit of shopping, trading, saw how they make silk. And it takes one man can make 2 yards of silk in 8 hours of weaving. And some of them bought tablecloths there. I couldn't see the price of $45 for a linen tablecloth and napkin, but I guess it's all right since it just has silk embroidery in it. Decorative, looked pretty good. Then I tried to bargain one fella down to $50 on a ring for Dorothy. It was a turquoise, however. It was $75, beautifully mounted on hand carved. It was unique, 18 karat gold. And Dottie to come. Dottie told me that this was turquoise, and I was thinking, Lord, this necklace was turquoise, and I found out it was jade. Yay. Just a minute. I was just interrupted by Keel Cross saying that he would try to get down Jordan, the place about where John the Baptist baptized Jesus for our time for Sunday services. If he couldn't, then we'd be down on the Dead Sea. Not in the exact spot of Sodom and Gomorrah, but pretty close. But I thought maybe if we got on the Jordan, down where John baptized Jesus, as Ernest Crawford would relish the idea of being baptized where Jesus was. However, we do plan on having church services there, if possible. Well, I have to wait on those guys here.
Well, this is Eastus, Columbus Street. But the whole history is there. See, there is a kind of specialization in each of these parts.
And the boat, size of the street, they were contained at one time about 520 Ionic and Corinthian pillars. Most of these pillars were destroyed by the earthquakes in 747 AD, and some of them has been reconstructed by the Antiquities Department in 1962. There were the shops on behind the pillars along the street. Everybody could see the remains of the shops still there. Underneath the middle, I mean the center of the street, there is a drainage system which was used for the rainwater and the dirty water. On the way back, I'll try to show you the tracks or the marks of the wheels of the chariots and about the floor of the street. That's all. It was covered or it was buried by sand till that label before 1921. But in 1921, the Antiquities Department of Jordan started the excavation cooperations with the American and the British schools. Then they had excavated already the floor of the street with the forum and some of the Byzantine Christian churches. We'll try to see four of them at least on the way back. And we shall take this way back down to the forum. So the forum or the colonnaded forum. And the forum itself, it was constructed by the Roman in the early 1st century AD. And it was used as a marketing place and a place of assembly for the political meetings and the public meetings. But the site so far still contains about 63 Ionic pillars. This is the Ionic architecture style, and that is the Corinthian architecture style. But when you're looking at the block which is on the capitals of those pillars, everybody could see the sixth one is higher a little bit than the others, and the distance between the two columns, which is below the block itself, which I have mentioned it in my explanation, it is wider a little bit because the site itself, it was an entrance for the people to come in. At the center of the forum down there, also everybody could see the remains of the Roman plinth, which was used as a pedestal for the Roman victory statue, which was stood there and looked up to the temple of Jupiter, which was the chief god at the Roman time. And about that gate, the triple gateway behind the trees, that was the triumphal arch or Hadrian's Gate. They called it Hadrian's Gate because they built it in Hadrian's emperor occasion visit when he visited Jerash in winter 129 130 AD, during the 2nd century AD, which was the golden age of the city at the Roman period. Zeraca. Zeraca is city of the Decapolis.
It's not the same as
Gadara.
Gadara?
Gadara. Gadara, it is not here. Gadara, it is about 60 kilometers farther to the north.
Well, I thought that we came through there.
Way back down
that's
there.
Overlooking the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
That's... And the Mount of Pyramids. And the Jordan Valley. Okay. About the space here, my friends. This is the Temple of Zeus, or the Temple of Jupiter, which was the chief god at the Roman time. And the temple itself, it was constructed by the Greeks in the 2nd century BC, and it was rebuilt by the Romans in the year 163 AD, during the 2nd century AD. And the main entrance, or the main gate of the Temple of Jupiter, it was starting from the floor, or from the beginning of the forum, with a great flight of the steps, all the way till the front gate of the Temple of Jupiter itself. And down here, everybody could see, these are remains of some vaults or tunnels, and these vaults were constructed to raise the level of the courtyard of the Temple of Jupiter itself. When you're looking down to the outside there, everybody could see, part of the city wall is still visible in a great part all around the city, which is about 4 kilometers long. And the population of Jerash, they were between 13,000 to 18,000 people. Down here also, beside the palm tree, or the walnut trees, you could see the south gate of the city. You can have your pictures before we leave. It was constructed by the Greeks in first, because all the time it was begun by the Greeks in the 4th century BC, and it was rebuilt by the Greeks.
Yes.
What labor did they use to do this? What people?
Slaves.
Slaves from what country? Just any country?
From the neighbor countries.
Thank you. nous donne certains supplémentaires et travail des hommes sur le présent temps qui deviendra le sein de la vie. Il est béni, Dieu de l'univers, toi qui nous donnes ce vin, fruit de la vigne et du travail des hommes, nous te le présentons, il deviendra le vin du royaume éternel. Prions ensemble au moment d'offrir le sacrifice de toute l'Église. Dieu notre Père, réponds à notre attente, souviens-toi de la promesse de ton Fils, que l'Esprit Saint nous fasse pénétrer plus avant dans l'intelligence du mystère eucharistique et nous ouvre à la vérité tout entière. Par Jésus, le Christ, notre Seigneur.
Amen.
Le Seigneur soit avec nous.
Et
élevons notre cœur.
Le
rendons grâce au Seigneur notre Dieu. Vraiment, il est juste et bon de te rendre gloire, de t'offrir notre action de grâce toujours et en tout lieu. À toi, Père très saint, Dieu éternel et tout puissant, pour accomplir jusqu'au bout le mystère de la Pâque, tu as répandu aujourd'hui l'Esprit Saint sur ceux que tu as fait tes fils, en les unissant à ton Fils unique. C'est ton Esprit qui a donné à tous les peuples au commencement de l'Église la connaissance du vrai Dieu, afin qu'ils confessent chacun dans sa langue une seule et même foi. C'est pourquoi le peuple est baptisé, rayonnant de la joie pascale, exulte par toute la terre, tandis que les anges dans le ciel chantent sans fin l'hymne de ta gloire.
Le Seigneur est saint, le Seigneur est saint, le Seigneur est saint.
Le Seigneur est
because the Roman foundation or the Roman houses is still deeper, and it was the same level as the floor of the forum, you know.
By the south preparing or the south intersection where the two main streets pushing or meeting together, and about the street itself was connecting the western gate of the city with the eastern gate. You could see the west gate, or the western gate, right through the remains of the city wall. And about the floor of the street, it was buried by Saint in that place in the year 1962. And both of these pillars has been restored or has been rebuilt in 1962 on the same date. Over here, everybody could see the continuation of the street.
Wrecked the baby's going back in there, wouldn't it?
This place, these are remains of the three Byzantine Christian churches. This is the church of St. George, I mean the first one on the first floor, and the next one behind the wall, the church of St. John the Baptist.
John the Baptist?
Yeah. And the last one, the church of St. Cosmas and Damianus. And the three of them were built by the Byzantine in the 6th century A.D., exactly between 529-533 A.D. And the three of them are paved with a small fine mosaic floors, but the mosaics of the both churches, St. George and St. John, still covered for protection because there is no wall around them to protect the mosaic inside. But now,
we will go up to the third one and we will see the mosaic and the floor. Right. This was the temple of Artemis or the temple of Diana. Artemis was the patron goddess of the city, and Diana was the goddess of the hunt and the goddess of the moon. But the building itself, it was rebuilt by the Roman in the 2nd century AD, exactly in the year 150 AD. And it's the most beautiful building in Jerash, and it's built of 2 stories or 2 floors high. This is the first floor from here. You could see it is divided into 3 vaults or into 3 tunnels. And these vaults were used as the storage places for the grains and the furniture and different things. And that was the upper stage, which was used as a shrine place. And about the statue of the goddess of Artemis, it was on a raised platform under that arch at one time. And the surrounding by walls, about 396 feet long, and the elevation of the pillars, about 45 feet high. The temple also, it was covered, it was roofed by sandalwood and tile. There are about 11 huge Corinthian pillars still standing in the temple of Artemis. But there are 2 of them are moves from the wind. We call them the moving pillars or the whispering columns. Unfortunately, I think there is no wind now. Mm-hmm. But let's try them anyway.
That is the entrance of the temple of Artemis. And it was built by the Roman in the same day of the temple itself, in the year 150 AD. And the entrance itself, starting from the floor of the main street, with this great flight of the steps all the way up till the beginning of the open courtyard of the temple of Artemis. And about that square down there, that was the altar or the sacrificing place where they used to sacrificing their oblations on those days. This was the third or the last Roman temple in Jerash. This was the Nymphaeum or the temple of the nymphs. And it was erected and dedicated by the Roman in the 2nd century AD, exactly in the year 191 AD. And it's built of 2 parts high. That was the first part where the water became through these holes down into the small pool which is behind this wall. Then the surplus water will also flow through the mouth of the gorilla, the statue, down into the fountain, and through the mouth of the lionhead statue down into the 4 dolphin fishes on the floor. You could see the fishes down there. Then you throw the eyes of the dolphins with a small drainage underneath the sublocks down into the main drainage, which is underneath the blocks of the main street.
You can see now, for tomorrow program, we have to start early in the morning because we are passing by Madhava, Mount Nebo, and going to Bethlehem. So I would believe that if we leave by 7, it was all right. It would be better for us to avoid the noon time because of travel.
We're just leaving Jerash.
Right.
And we've been visiting the temple of Diana, the temple of Jupiter. And it's now just about 10 minutes until 6 o'clock. We had quite a walk over those mountains. Many hundreds of columns are still standing. Excavations taken place a few years ago of buildings of the ruins that took place in the 2nd century AD, built by a Roman government doing its best to strike out against Christianity, when he found out through temple worships of goddess, pagan gods, then they decided to join in with the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they would be successful in some measure in the destruction of the church. But all they managed to do was divide it. Previously recorded was a French Christian service that was taking place in the. But all they managed to do was divide it. Previously recorded was a French Christian service that was taking place in the Temple of Jupiter. I recorded as much as I could, took a few pictures of it, and there again was a service particularly designed to be in opposition to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They performed their own ceremony in the name of their own well-being. And their physical relationship before God had nothing to do with the glorification of God. Very pathetic, but it was held in the temple of Jupiter. Jupiter, though, was the god of darkness, and the far under earth. Many interesting things took place here at Jars. We're just a few miles from Ovid, which is the new capital of Jordan. And we'll get down to Ovid pretty soon, spend the night, and as you may have heard over the speaker, our guide said we would have to leave by 7 o'clock in the morning to get all of the visits made that we have to make tomorrow. Get over the desert by noon. It's supposed to be pretty hot over the desert. However, it snowed this morning on us in Damascus. It's very cold there. It rained quite a bit. But now we're going downhill steadily all the way. Just before we got there, we hit the highest part of Jordan. Over 1,100 feet, I think, above sea level. We go all the way down to the Dead Sea, which is many hundreds of feet below sea level, so we'll have about a mile, three-quarter drop from here to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is a place all down through that valley that an airplane can fly. 600 miles an hour below sea level. This is what we have to look forward to. Incidentally, just been listening to a tape of Pat Christian, Pat Clemens, Rita Christian, and B.S. Madden singing at a preacher's retreat, pastor's conference. Heard the Salt Pepper Quartet, heard Little Roy Smith sing, heard the Little Adair Girls sing, a few others, sister, a missionary's wife, out of Salinas Church, I forget his name, but anyhow, she sang. A few comments by Gil Cross, a few comments by myself. Sounds strange hearing all of you over here in this Jordanian country. Basically, they are just as dead as the cohorts of hell because they do not accept Jesus Christ as being the Son of God or as being crucified. They believe he is yet to come and will be born of a male Arab, and he will be a king over all peoples everywhere. They're atheistic in every phase of the thing. Our guides are involved in Arabs, and I told the one in Damascus named Basham, told him, when he was explaining to us his believe, or the Arabic belief, and was going through all of this spirit deal. Well, I said, you have to forgive us if we pray that with your great knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, all you told us about him, especially down there in the house of Judas, where Ananias laid his hands on Paul and he regained his sight, where you said he was being baptized, and where I said he was not, because there wasn't any water present enough to dip him, which had to be done before he received his sight in obedience to the Lord's command. So we're going to be praying that you receive this Christ, the Son of the living God, as your personal Savior, which is your only escape from hell. And if you ever glorify God, it will be when you unite with the Lord's church. Since you know where America is, come on over. We can't bring a church into this country because you people have been dead to God for many, many, many centuries. And there is no reviving of you. You're in for complete destruction. And as I looked at all these ruins here in Jarvis, covered completely by many feet, columns 100 feet high, covered completely by dirt, earthquake. The excavation took place between the universities of England and universities of America to uncover this, these ruins. And this was all done mainly since World War II and become a great tourist attraction. God covered that place up. He intended for it to stay covered. Man has dug it up. Man's worshiping his kind of religions again. Man's kind of religion, that is. So, this is a terrible place over here. I said to Basia, you ought to come on over to America and join the Lord's church. One of them, at least, glorify God. We arrived at the Grand Palace Hotel in Amman at about 7:10, and it's a real pleasure to be in a place that looks halfway decent. Just wonder what the food's going to be like. The last meal we had, last two meals we had in Damascus was bread, a little piece of triangular-shaped cheese, butter, jelly, and some coffee that is out of this world. I put two spoonsful of sugar and a half a cup of coffee and finished it up with a hot milk that they said made out of camel milk. I don't know what it was, but I didn't try drinking it. That's all we had for breakfast, plus an orange for breakfast. And then for lunch, we had some more of the same bread, some rice with some milk gravy. And they said that gravy was made out of camel milk yogurt. And it had yesterday's beef rolls chopped up in it. And then we couldn't eat that. That was soured somehow. I just couldn't eat it. And Brother Philip started staring his down before I started staring mine down. But then we got a piece of meat and some potatoes for the second of course. And the cat came walking through, and I gave him most of my meat. That helped me out there. And so we're getting pretty hungry here. It's now 7:35. When we got into the hotel here, we went into a little shopping room in the side. And I bought a sack of cashew nuts with no salt. And they were really good. I don't know what's going to be the results of them, but Brother Wilson helped me pretty good, and Brother Philip just kind of grinned and nibbled, and I ate the rest. We're still waiting for the announcement for dinner. Don't know what we're going to have, but Brother Phillips said a while ago that I don't care what we have. Then he stopped and said, yes, since I've been over here, I've learned to quit saying that. I do care what we're going to have. That only goes for the States. So tomorrow, I guess, will be another day, but right now, this is about all we have.
Jesus, driver, very much welcome again. Happy.
Antony, Mark Antony, presented to Cleopatra the Queen.
And anybody from my hometown saw them to hell of the great. Hell of the great neglected the outside of the city and shifted his city about 3 kilometers, let us say about 2 miles, to the south of the old run. In other words, we are going to show you this morning about three Jerichos. One of them dating back to the Neolithic age of the 8000 BC, and the second one is the one in the Old and New Testament existed in the time of the Lord Jesus, which is called the New Jericho. And then the modern one, which we are coming to cross soon, that is now built on the ruins of the early Byzantines and Crusades. We have three cities. Now, this city was inhabited richly so far after 1967 war, especially when the floods of the refugees came and prepared to live in the city for the sake of the water and the abundance of it and the fertility of the land, that they were the only people actually who changed Jericho from a small town to a nice neighboring town. The whole inhabitants of Jericho came to be after 67 war about 150,000 people. What is left now after 67 war, only about 8,000 living in Jericho, including the refugees. So the biggest camp of those refugees is almost empty, with the exception of the biggest one, which used to hold about 44,000. It has nowadays about 2,000, and the whole population, not more than 8,000 people living in the city of Jericho. Jericho got a lot of history, and the best definition to it is the cradle of civilization. And we have been there that Christianity had been introduced to the city in the 5th century when Jericho was erected as one of the bishop's center here in the city. This proved because the excavations actually which were carried on since 1850, first of all by German expedition and later on by the famous Professor Katrin Kenyon, the director of British School of Archaeology, which proved Tibetese occupation lived in that city, one over the other. And this is why we consider Jericho by the oldest city in the world, which was not continuously inhabited. But if we want to consider this from the point of history, we found out that it is the oldest city in the world. And again, if we want to consider Damascus as continuously inhabited in Syria, that was also the oldest city. But at least now, since it was one of the history saying that Jericho is the oldest city in the world. It was actually the addition of those excavators, which they had worked here later on by Miskenion for 7 years, which brought to line all those occupations archaeologically level, as you will see it soon after you will have your lunch. The city is very famous in its bananas fields, in its oranges, vegetables, palm, dates, green all the year round.
We have to wait 5 hours at the River Jordan in order to get through customs. And then we've had to go through customs, another inspection. Right now, as we're entering Jericho, we just crossed the Judean desert or wilderness. There's an automobile accident here.
When we were coming to pick you from the bridge here, the schoolboys actually were making kind of demonstrations, beginning to cast stones at the cars, just because against the last demonstration which took place here in the whole West Bank of the Bible, it was just only bullets that it had been hit on. And this is why they have to be careful and check out. Now we are coming actually to cross on.
Let's get to a demonstration spot.
The ruins of the Crusades and the Byzantines. And I would like to tell you that the original inhabitants of Jericho are not the ones you are seeing now. The original one, which still we have a quite limited number of them, they are almost Negroes. They were kept here as remains of Ibrahim Pasha Army, the governor of Egypt, around the 19th century. And the other inhabitants of Jericho living they are almost the people used to live in the other parts of the country. As a result of the war, they have been just prepared to live in this city. Now, on our way to the restaurant within 2 minutes' time, we are going to be shown the Marbury Pitch Tree, which we call it Zetka Tree, where Zetka is was granted in order to see the Lord Jesus. That kind of tree still could be seen here in the city of Jericho. Here, big tree here with a huge trunk. If you want to get a picture of it, please do it, because we are leaving after lunch for the sightseeing in the city of Jericho. Here, decorating both sides of the road, is called Ben Siena Tree. It's always in summer, gives a right flower. You see, for those of us, always in summer, that we go from Bella here. And today is Sunday, as you know, people from the mountain side, when it is cold, little bit, they prefer to spend a good vacation day here in the city of Jericho, which got a very nice weather all the time. We have the heat here today about 18 degrees.
Well, I think you can leave all what you don't need it here, with the exception of your cameras and money, all of them.
Get out like a bunch of hogs, no consideration for anybody or nothing. Wham, bang. I teach him better, than I?
Again, a grove of green trees. That is the traditional place where the Lord Jesus was baptized by St. John the Baptist. So that is over there, which is a military zone, and difficult actually to drive there, especially after the war of 1967. Then again here, that northern valley is coming in the very mountains, and falls into the sea. The length of it is about 230 miles. The Jordan River, you will be able to see it when you go to Galilee. Then you can see the Jordan when it leaves the Lake of Galilee and takes its flow along the Valley of Jordan. So, 3 kilometers to the east of the Jordan River itself, there is the ancient site mentioned in the Bible known by the Gilgala, where the children of Israel were gathering there. And you remember when Joshua sent the 2 spies to find out the strength of the city, and they were heading here in this city of Jericho in the house of Rahab. And then later the children of Israel, when they crossed Jordan River miraculously, carrying the Ark of Covenant to Jericho, the first city which was taken was Jericho. You remember when the walls of Jericho fell down on the 7th day of siege. And then we have been learned that cursed the one who thinks even to rebuild the walls of Jericho. Possibly this is what made the Byzantines later on to find out this fact, and they had shifted themselves where the modern Jericho is when they built their city on the ruins. Now the modern city itself is found on the ruins of the early Byzantines and the Crusades. Now when we come here to the city, as you can see here, the only means of bringing things to light is the excavation. The
Germans worked in 1840 here, but they did not succeed. Since in the 50s, that Professor Dean Kenyon, the director of British School of Archaeology, conducted these excavations for 7 seasons, when she succeeded to find the ruins of 17 occupations, one after the other, as I want to point to you those different archaeological levels to begin in from the Neolithic period, 8000 BC. We have so many occupations here, but some of the prominent ones were one dates back to the Chalcolithic age, from the 5000 to 4000 BC, where the man of Jericho began to use the bricks in building his house. And then that occupation, which almost come to be on the time of the Parthians, that occupation called the Hyksos period. Hyksos period, known in history by the Shepherd King, who had been immigrating from the west, might be from the Asia Minor to the Arab Peninsula first, and then to Egypt. Since 1850 BC, they were driven out of Egypt, and they had been.
This is all mythology.
Our country, introducing the horses for the first time to our country. So it seems that those people had a belief in the next life. Whenever they used to bury their dead, definitely they have to bury with them some food and furniture to be used in their next life. As we have found 5 Hyksos family tombs, and they are all kept in the Museum of Jerusalem. And even we have one reconstructed in the Museum of Amman. Those are the Hyksos who never built their settlement on a foundation. They always prefer to build their settlement on the top of a hill. If that hill or cell was existed, yes, otherwise they have to build an artificial cell to build their cities at the top. And then later, we have a faint trace of the world of Jericho. Though, in spite of all the activities carried by Miss Kenyon, she was not able to prove authentically that line, which you see it now, is the line of the walls of Jericho, but she thinks so. Still, wherever you come to find to see any of the excavations, you will never see that it is finished. Always, they have to leave a portion for the modern archaeologists to find out and to hear general or modern theory. And so far now, the modern archaeologists are waiting or expecting to find another Jericho, but we don't know. So far, we can see that this is the oldest city, according to the theory of Miss Kenyon, and the walls, it is believed to be the walls of Jericho, which fell down on the seventh day of peace. Right away over there, that is the Temptation Mountain. That building on the top, I told you, built by the Crusades for the sake of the Temptation. And even at the foot, that Greek Orthodox monastery, built of the traditional spot where the Lord was tried by the Tatars. Those very many grottoes you see in the mountains had been inhabited richly in the 5th, 6th century by the early Byzantine monks. Let's get on to visit the Romans.
We have just been listening to about 15 minutes of mythology, no biblical truth, no foundation at all, only on the records of man.
For the best of the Neolithic period, which dates back to 8000 BC. As a result of the excavations conducted by that Miss Kenyon, we have found down there elegant skeletons, probably. They were the skeletons of the gods who guarded the Neolithic city in the city. Besides that, they had found some of the bones and things which had been all tested by the carbon-14, and they had found the results out of it. Now, these occupations, as you can see, they were marked along the whole way down, but by the anger of nature, that is drifted down. Then we have the second occupation here, which is a cover made about 10 meters high, with the same case up there, that is the index which goes down to the first occupation of the Neolithic period, 8000 BC. Then, on the top of that settlement over there, as I mentioned to you, this dates back to the Hyksos period. So you can see that the Hyksos never built their settlement on a foundation, always on the top of a stone. if it was existing. Otherwise, they have to build and to find an artificial one to build their settlement on the top. Now, Mr. Simeon believes that that line on the top could be the lines of the walls of Jericho built down on the 7 days of peace. So far, we can say that might be, because it was not proved yet authentically, but only she believes so. That is the theory of Professor Simeon, the director of the School of Archaeology. What would follow, we don't know. Well, in the next ditch over there, I think we can have a little more better view of the walls of Jericho.
Another 5 minutes of mythology has just been recorded.
Down there at the bottom, that was the platform where in the center of it, always the hill of the family used to be placed. All around.